this boy that was shaking like that. And it was humorous looking. And so I was reaching over to tell Harlan and Drenda how, you know, our officials in Springfield need this. And when I was getting ready to tell them, hey, wouldn't it be something if they got up at General Council and all of a sudden started shaking like that? And all of a sudden the glory hit me and I started shaking, folks, and I've never done that in my life. And I got down behind the pew to hide. I was embarrassed. And I said, Lord, I wasn't making fun of you. I was just making fun of them. God said, they don't need it. You need it. Amen. How many knows you need it? We think it's for everybody else. And I do know this. There was 15, 20 minutes when he was still on you. You don't just throw this off. It's got to subside. And for Allison, comes on her at times. And for Allison's sister, I think it lasted 2 or 3 days. And now we don't seek the shaken. How many knows we seek God? See, if you make the shaken a God, or you make the fallen a God, or you make laughter, if you make that, then you begin to worship laughter, and you begin to worship the fallen. And then if you don't have the fallen, you don't have the manifestations, you think, I don't have God. Well, I mean, those folks, you don't worship those manifestations, you worship Him. But I tell you, there's pride in us, and sometimes, you know, somebody said, I think Steve Hill said, I think that God just shows us what He's doing is shaking the church, shaking the world, and maybe just shaking the devil out of some of us. You think maybe? Amen. Praise God. No offense there. And you don't have it in you. But ladies and gentlemen, there's one verse of scripture in your hearing tonight in John 14:30. And I really don't want you to turn there because it takes some time. Take my word for it. Take God's word for it. It's there. I want you to read it when you get home. Jesus is speaking. There's a message in this passage. Hereafter I will not talk with you much, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. What does the devil have in you? It seems like a ludicrous, ridiculous statement for Jesus to make, and yet He makes it. He makes it for a reason. He makes it for our sake. The prince of this world comes, and he finds nothing in me. Now, Jesus was not demon-possessed. He was accused of being demon-possessed. I'm not accusing you of being demon-possessed. There may be some in our services. In fact, more and more, you're going to see people set free from demon possession. For the devil's whole goal is to live in a human body. That's his whole plot, ploy, plan, to live inside you. But if he can't live in you, he wants to deposit something in you that belongs to him. And that way he can come back, get a hold of it. He's got a right to harass you because, you see, you've got something in you that belongs to him. The question, the message, what does the devil have in you? I'm not talking about demon possession. I'm talking about something inside you that doesn't belong to God. How many knows every good gift comes from God? Every perfect gift comes from God. And that confusion, that depression, and that sense of despair and unrest and restlessness and all those forces that are bringing ruination to your life and devastation to your mind, it's not from God, ladies and gentlemen. God is a good God. I know it took Oral Roberts to remind us of that, but He is a good Heavenly Father. But there's some stuff that gets in us, and God is not the originator nor the origination. It comes from the evil one. And the devil, if he knows that he can't possess you, he'll settle for second best. He'll say, okay, so I can't literally control your life. I'm going to influence you. And so you won't give yourself totally over to me. I'll let you serve God, but I'm going to keep enough of my stuff, things, junk, works, sins in you that I have the right to come up and get a hold of that and jerk your chain, bring you down, bring devastation into your life. The most tormented people in this world, the most tormented person in this world is that person that has God inside them, but they also have something that belongs to Satan. They're not totally submitted to the Lord. They're not totally surrendered to Jesus. They're not hot. They're not cold. They're lukewarm. They homogenize. It's a mixture. You see, I've seen demon-possessed people that were very comfortable with themselves. And they're really not that miserable. They're going to hell. The devil's got them. And so he really don't torment them as much. Then I've seen people wholeheartedly out for God that has no torment. But there's a middle ground. A middle ground where you can be on fire one day in a service, feeling the presence of God, but not totally submit your will to Him. God wants more than your emotions. How many knows that? And I thank God for emotional response. I really do, because you see, when I saw this crowd a few moments ago responding with an exuberant, jubilant ecstasy, I think of what it's going to be like in heaven. It's an awesome thing. But I'm telling you right now, God wants more than the emotional response. God wants your will. God wants your life. God wants submission. He will settle for nothing less than your very best. He wants it all, folks. I mean, it's great to say, hey, God, here's my problems. God said, okay, I'll take your problems, but I want your life. Not just your problems. Lord, here's my habits. Here's my nicotine, and here's this depression. God says, right, but you see, I want you. And when you give me control of your life, then I'm going to take out everything in you that belongs to the devil. That means the devil has no right to harass you. He has nothing in you that belongs to him. Now listen close. You know you're saved, but you're not totally submitted. You're not totally clean. You see, the question, the message in the form of a question, what does the devil have in you? Jesus said, he comes and he finds nothing in me. He's cast out. He has to leave. The devil came to Eve. He found a disobedient spirit. He got a hold of it. He brought her down. He came to Cain. He found a jealous spirit. He got a hold of it. He brought him down. He came to Achan. He found a covetous spirit. He got a hold on it. He brought him down. He came to David. He found an adulterous spirit. He got a hold on it. He brought him down. He came to the Israelites. He found a murmuring spirit. He got a hold on it. He brought them down. He came to Absalom. He found a rebellious spirit. He got a hold on that. He brought him down. He came to Judas. He found a greedy spirit. He got a hold on that. He brought him down. That belonged to him. That was something that the devil could get a hold of in his life. He came to Demas. He found a worldly spirit. He got a hold on that. It brought him down. He came to Ananias and Sapphira. He found a lying spirit. He got a hold on that, and he brought them down. He came to Samson. He found a lustful spirit. He got a hold on that, and he brought him down. He came to Saul. He found a haughty spirit. He got a hold on that, and he brought him down. He came to Jesus, and he found the Holy Spirit, and he couldn't get a hold of anything in the life of Jesus, and Jesus put him on the run. Come on. There's a place in God where you can say, devil, get back, get down, get off, get out of here. There's nothing in me that you can get a hold of. Come on, folks. That's the way God wants us to live. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to realize this. Before the devil can destroy the marriage or the ministry, he destroys, he assaults the mind. Everybody say the mind. Right here's the battleground, the place of the skull. And so you're saved. If you're not totally submitted to God, try to resist the devil all you want. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible doesn't say resist the devil, he'll flee from you. The Bible says submit yourself therefore to God. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. There was a time in my life I would scream at the devil and he would laugh. And I was preaching under the anointing and seeing results. But there was something in me that the devil owned. And you see, he would come, and every so often, you talk about bad days, I could have a great Holy Ghost rally one night, and the next day there'd be a mood swing, such an attitude change, and you would think, what in the world is wrong? And my wife at times would say, what's wrong with you? And some people will go through times of thinking of suicide and tremendous depression, and they just shattered all over the building the night before, but there's something in their life that belongs to Satan. And if you have something in you that belongs to him, he has rights. He has rights to come and get a hold of that. Maybe he can't get a hold of you and totally control you, but he will work on that, and you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And this is the way he works. Just a little something in your life, unchecked, unsurrendered, unsubmitted to God, and the devil starts working. He's got plenty of time now. He's got plenty of time. You see, he's had 6,000 years of practice, and so he'll take his time. Brother Evangelist from the South, he'll take his time. He remembers when you were a boy and your first experience with sex was voyeurism. And so pornography has become something that you wrestle with all of your life. And you come to a place in God where God uses you greatly. But if you don't submit that totally to the Lord, put that under the blood, the devil takes his time. In fact, the devil don't care if you get a real big ministry. In fact, he would love for some of you to be very successful in the ministry, because when you get big and there there's a following, and the higher you up are up, the harder you will fall, and the more it will hurt. And so I'm telling you right now, a lot of success in ministry can come from Satan. He wants you to have a big church and a big ministry, but he don't want you to be surrendered to God. He'll help you out, but he don't want you to pray. He don't want you to fast. He don't want you to repent. Why? Because the bigger you get, the more people look at you, the more they're shaken when you fall. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. The devil is not your best friend. He's your worst enemy. For years, they laughed at the thought of a real devil, but now they worship him from coast to coast. How many knows that? Two little boys were talking. They heard the lesson about the devil. One little boy said to the other, what do you think about this devil business? He said, oh, I think it's like Santa Claus. It's either your mom or your dad. Amen. And there's a whole world out there that thought it was a figment of man's imagination. It's some kind of concoction of man's carnal intelligentsia. But the Bible teaches there is a real devil in the devouring business. And Jesus spoke about the devil. He spent over half of his ministry casting the devil out of people. And ladies and gentlemen, when you start having a real Holy Ghost revival, the devil's comfortable in our churches, but the Holy Ghost comes in, he gets miserable. And people that's got the devil in them are something that belongs to the devil in them. They get miserable. And all of a sudden, the griping, the grumbling, the backbiting, the fighting, all of a sudden things begin to surface. That's what God wants. He wants all the junk to surface in you. If you've got a religious spirit, that's going to surface. That rebellious spirit's going to surface. God wants to take it out. When the devil comes around you, he looks, and all he sees is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the anointing of his presence and power. Come on, let God fill your life with praise and worship, and the devil don't have anything in you that belongs to him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to realize that the Bible teaches a real devil in the devouring business. And for years, he's been roaming, trying to divide, devour, and destroy. His plot, ploy, and plan is to possess you. But he will begin with just putting something in you that belongs to him. And he starts working on us, little by little, working on us. You sow a thought, you reap a deed. You sow that deed, you reap a habit. You sow that habit, you reap a lifestyle. You sow that lifestyle, you reap an eternity. And suddenly you look and you're fallen. You're fallen. The powers of darkness are all around you. The devil will wait. He's had 6,000 years of practice. Sometimes he comes like a roaring lion, but more times than not, he comes as an angel of light. He's two-faced. How many knows the devil has two faces? Number one is a roaring lion. This signifies oppression and great trials. Seems like all hell breaks loose. Job went through a time when it seemed like the devil came roaring and huffing and puffing and bluffing. But with the church of Jesus Christ, the devil comes as a sinister minister of light, an angel of light, and he slips in. And we love Jesus, but we love pleasure more than we love God. We come to church hit and miss, maybe so, maybe no. We love God, but not with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and so we're not totally submitted. And the devil comes and he finds that unfaithfulness, he finds that lack of prayer, that lack of worship, he finds that lukewarm spirit, and he gets a hold of it and he starts tormenting you. He wants you to stay in church just enough to cause trouble, to stop revival from taking place. You see, the devil's not an atheist. How many knows the devil's religious? He's very religious. He believes in God, and he trembles because he believes God. And so the devil's religious, and a religious spirit can get in you and hinder real revival from taking place in your life. And the greatest hindrance to real, genuine Holy Ghost revival is religion. It was the religious Pharisees that were trying to hound and haunt and taunt Jesus Christ. It was religion that nailed him to the cross. In this last day, the atheist, agnostic, skeptic, pseudo-intellectuals are not really going to fight this revival that much, but you're going to see religious folk rise up. They're going to have trouble with the manifestations, with the impartation, with the shaking. We want a neat package revival that offends nobody. And God says, I'm going to take control of your life, and when I do, I'm jerking all the junk out of you. I'm setting you free. And I'm going to show the world that my power is the awesome power that delivers. Give the Lord a hand of praise. The Bible says the devil is seeking whom he may devour. Say whom? Just that one word means that he can't devour everybody. There's a whom that he's seeking to devour. Now, if you'll read that in the proper biblical context, and I could quote the whole chapter to you, 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says, submit yourself to God. It says, humble yourself on the mighty hand of God. It says, be clothed with humility, casting all your care on him because he careth for you. So the whom that the devil can devour are those that are exalted in pride. And because of pride, the devil has that in us. You see, pride has made devils out of angels. Pride cometh, then cometh destruction. Pride goeth before a fall. A haughty spirit before destruction and a fall. And so the number one thing that you need to do tonight is to submit yourself to God and humble yourself before God. I'm telling you right now, folks, there are people here, and I may not be able to put my finger on everybody, but I've been where you're at. I'm telling you, you can have a glorious service on Sunday and have a day of gloom and doom and depression on Monday. That's not the will of God. I said, that's not the will of God. God has moved me into a place of fullness. I didn't know you could enjoy God like this. My wife said the other night, last night in testimony, she said, I didn't know it could be like this. You know, I've memorized books of the Bible. I've been preaching revivals. But you know what? There's been junk in me. I didn't know it. And as a result, the devil jerked my chain, and Monday would be murky Monday, terrible Tuesday, and then back up Wednesday, having a good day, then a bad day, and a good day, and a bad day. I'm gonna tell you something, folks. The devil is a bad devil, and you may have bad weather, but how many knows God's a good God, and all of hell may be breaking loose in your life, but how many knows God's goodness and glory can set you free from gloom and doom? Don't let anything stay in you that belongs to Satan. Tonight, you're going to tell sin, you're not my friend. Doubt, get out. Worry, leave in a hurry. Fear, get out of here and steer clear. Shout amen, somebody. Gloom, there's no room. Lust, bite the dust. Hate, there's the gate. Don't wait. Don't try to hide. Get out of here. Don't hesitate. Leave the state. That's your fate. Pride, take a ride. Frustration, temptation, take a vacation. You old snake, jump in the lake. Take all your junk, you punk. You lewd, rude, crude, shrewd dude. You dense, dunce, doofus, dummy, 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 ding-a-ling, ding-dong, devil. Get out of here. Get back. I'm going to reverse the curse. Nothing in me belongs to you. I'm going to be full of God and the Holy Ghost and prayer and praise and worship. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. I don't know if you can tell it, but I like poetry. How many can tell that, folks? I don't know, it's just in me. I think God gives it to me. Maybe he does, maybe he don't, but I just started writing all that down today, and I'm telling you right now, it may rhyme, but there's more truth and reason to that than rhyme. And that is, you tell these things that belongs to Satan, there's no room in my life for you, devil. I'm not going to just serve God as a weekend hobby. This revival is not a revival thing. This revival is a person that's inside of me. And there's no room for anything but God and his fullness. And I want him totally in my life. That's why we emphasize the importance of worship. I was preaching in Danville, Virginia. Mighty Holy Ghost revival. Television cameras going to potential 2 million viewers. And I'm telling you, the glory of God's broke loose in that place. But there was one man, demon possessed. He said, there's one part of the service, he said, I did not like. He said, in fact, I would get real mad when you would start that praise and that worship and those praise songs and those worship songs. And I'm going to tell you some folks, I love the old songs. And one great thing about this church is they've got a balance. I love to sing about the songs of heaven and the songs of glory. But you see, God is instituting some worship songs. Well, you not only sing about God, but you sing to God. Amen. I mean, it's one thing for me to come and say, boy, I've got the most wonderful wife. She's a lovely lady. And I think the world of her. And I can brag on her to Pam. And I can say, boy, Debbie is just wonderful to me. And you know what? Debbie may appreciate it, but she really don't know it unless Pam tells her. Deb would rather me come up to her and say, Deb, I love you. And you're so wonderful. And you mean so much. In fact, she's asking me to do it right now. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it is with God. We can brag on God all of our lives and talk about how good he is. But there are times that God wants you to come in, look up to him and say, I love you and I worship you and I praise you and I'm not ashamed of you. And the devil gets mad. I said, the devil don't like that. Ladies and gentlemen, come on, let's praise the Lord. Let God fill you with praise. And so I'm saying that to say this, folks. In this revival, there's extractions and there's impartation. He takes out all the junk, then he fills you with the glory. And don't have any room in your life for depression, for worry, for fear, for cares, for lust. There's no room, devil. Amen. I'm full of praise. I'm full of worship. I'm full of the word. I'm not just singing about heaven. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Now, here again, I love the old songs. And I just love it when they start singing because I was raised on those old songs. And I'm telling you, you can feel God when they're singing them. But there is a dimension of worship where you stop singing about God and you start singing to God. Amen. And that's what God wants to hear. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to see your hands lifted to Him. He wants to hear you as you magnify the Lord. And so as we get a balance in our churches, singing songs of faith and hope, but also songs of love. Everybody say love. Oh, I love Him so much. And I'm not just going to tell you what I think of Him. I'm going to tell Him every day. And that gives the devil a coronary. He can't stand that, folks. I said the devil, a Holy Ghost service makes the devil nervous. Amen. He knows that when people start praising God, giving love to God, that the channel is open and all the powers of darkness cannot take that. And I'm going to tell you, if you really want to confuse the devil, the thing that confuses the devil, and this will get the confusion out of your life and put it in his camp. In Chronicles chapter 20, the Bible says there was a battle won without a shot fired, if you'll let me use that analogy. God said, put the choir out front, and I want them to sing praises to God. And so as the choir began to sing praises to God there in Judah, they begin to worship the Lord, the enemy. They heard what sounded like multiplied masses praising God. They thought the army was bigger than what it was. They became confused. They turned on each other and began to destroy each other because of the confusion. And here's what God told me. God said, son, when my people start worshiping me, not just singing about me, not just talking about me, but they start singing to me, the devil is mad. That was his job in heaven. And he's tried to shut down praise and worship for years. And he's done a pretty good job in a lot of our churches, folks. Come on. Would somebody say amen? We call it preliminaries, and for years it's almost a lost art. We'll give God 15 minutes and sing songs about Him. And God says, I want to hear your voice. I want you to make love to me. I want you to spend time with me. The devil hates that. He gets mad. He will fight that more than anything. He'd rather you preach 90 minutes, preacher. He'd rather you preach 5 hours. In fact, he'll let you preach 5 hours, but don't get the people ready. Don't move the people into the presence of God, because I don't care how much seed you throw on concrete, nothing is going to grow. I said nothing's going to grow. But you let people start worshiping God. I'm telling you, folks, there's no room for gloom. The glory comes in. The devil has to leave. He leaves screaming. He's mad. But heaven knows there's victory. The prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me. And that's what it's all about. That man in Danville, Virginia said, he said, listen, when they started worshiping, he said, I got mad. He said, something would rise in me. That devil was comfortable in there until praise and worship started. Praise and worship started. The devil got mad. I've seen deacon boards shut down praise and worship in a church. Won't you listen to me, folks? Because there's a lot of churches. I mean, it's one thing to be demon-possessed, another thing to be deacon-possessed. Say amen, somebody. I can cast the devil out. Ever try to cast a deacon out? It's hard. Amen. There's a lot of control going on here, see? A nice little tidy church. Don't you know Jesus is coming? Anybody hear that Jesus is coming soon? You can have your tidy little church in the tribulation period, amen. It'll be a tidy little church, but God's getting ready to take a group of people out of here, and they're going to be blood-bought, fire-baptized, Christ-centered people that He's redeemed, and He's ransomed, and He's raptured. Come on, take your hand off the things of God. Take your hand off the things of God. I don't know how I got off on that. I'm not gonna hunt down that trail tonight. There's some good hunting down there, amen. But I'm gonna tell you right now, folks, I know what I'm saying, and I've been here 21 years preaching the gospel. And I see how a revival goes so far, and then all of a sudden somebody in control will rise up against it. Well, in this last hour, God is leaping across denominational barriers. Holy Spirit told me there's going to be revival centers spring up. And if God can't turn your church into a revival center, He'll shut your place down and raise up one right across the street. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, that don't need to happen. Let God come in your church. I said, let the glory fall. Let the glory fall in your church. You see, there's a harvest of souls getting ready to be birthed into the kingdom of God. And they're bulging right now, getting ready to come into a place where people love them and care for them. But you see, if the devil's got something in you that belongs to him, he can control, he can jerk, he can move, he can influence. God says, I want to clean you out and I want to fill you up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I saw in Chronicles 20 how the enemy got confused and started attacking each other, God said, I want you to go to my people and tell my people that when they start praising and worshiping me, the spirits that are attacking them get confused. They get disoriented. They get mad. The devil really doesn't have rationale. Somebody said, well, you know, the devil's pretty smart. I think he's pretty dumb. Amen, folks. How many knows he got kicked out of heaven? He's the biggest loser of all times. I mean, every time he met God, he lost. And he keeps coming back thinking he's going to win. He lost in heaven. He was kicked out. Jesus said, I saw it happen. He lost in history. Every time he met God, his lights were punched out. How many knows that? He lost not only in heaven and in history. He lost on a hill called Calvary 2,000 years ago. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting ready to shout on that one. The devil tried to kill him. The devil tried to kill Jesus 5 times premature to keep him from going to the cross. Before Jesus was born, kill the babies. We don't want Jesus to be born. The wilderness temptation, jump from that pinnacle, going to destroy you before you reach Calvary. There on the boat when he was asleep, the storm came up. Let's destroy the Son of Man. In Gethsemane, sweat as if it were great drops of blood. The devil wanted to destroy him. Another time, the crowd came to get him, to kill him premature. The devil did not want him to fulfill the will of God. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ fulfilled the will of God, and he died, and he conquered sin, self, Satan, sickness. He came back with the keys of death and hell, jingling a heavenly melody at his side, and he stands and says, I've got all power and all authority. And if you want to make the devil mad, start worshiping the King. Don't just sing to somebody how great he is. Don't just tell me what you think of him. Why don't you tell him, Jesus, I love you? And the devil gets mad, and those spirits of depression, fear, and worry that's coming against you, all of a sudden they get so mad and they can't control themselves. You talk about crazy, you talk about insane. They start attacking each other. They turn against each other. I don't know how you feel, but instead of the devil attacking the church, I'd rather the demons destroy each other. Amen. Let's just have that kind of revival. It comes through praise. It comes through worship. It comes through giving God glory. The prince of this world cometh, and he findeth nothing in me. Up until that time, anybody, even that was used of God, the devil could have a little something there. And I see the mighty David, the king, a one-night fling, discovers he's got spiritual AIDS, and there's devastation. God forgives, forgets forever, but there is results, there's complications. You reap what you sow. And on it goes. All these mighty men of God, not totally submitted and surrendered to the Lord. And as a result, the devil brought them down. Judas, the kiss with a hiss. He sat where you're sitting. He was the secretary and treasurer of the church. If Judas were to come back tonight, he could preach this message better than I could preach it. I did a drama one time entitled Judas Returns. Saw hundreds of people saved in several nights as I came back as Judas Iscariot. And I just told the story, and I quoted myriads of verses. I quoted the story about the rich man and the beggar. And ladies and gentlemen, as Judas, I said that rich man is still there, staring at the smutty walls of hell. Here is Judas. Judas sat where you're sitting. He saw the miracles. He was used of God. He was secretary and treasurer. But not one time did Judas call him Lord. Not one time did Judas totally submit his life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. As a result, there was something in Judas that belonged to Satan. And so the devil said, okay, I've got time. Go ahead, have your miracle ministry. Go to church. In fact, I'd love for you to get more titles, more prestige. I'd love for you to get in a high position in the church, because I got something in you that belongs to me. And I'm going to wait And the devil waited. And the devil reached out and jerked the chain the right time. The kiss with a hiss. Judas kissed the door of heaven and was flung through the gates of hell before midnight because he didn't totally submit his life to God. Judas could preach better than I'm preaching tonight. I'm looking at church people. I'm looking at people that love God. But I'm telling you right now, the depression, the worry, the fear, those are spirits. I said, those are spirits. There may be some people that have chemical imbalance that brings depression, and you may need physical treatment. How many knows God can heal even that? But I'm going to tell you right now, if you could see the impish spirits of darkness that will come and begin to work in us, we're not possessed. I knew I wasn't demon possessed, but I was miserable. Ladies and gentlemen, that time of being miserable is gone. I want you to look at this, preacher. The reason I can confess to you about my sordid past, even when I was a minister, is because I've been set free. And I've got to tell you right now, I've got good news. You can be set free. I said, you can be totally free from the powers of darkness and the chains of sin. Satan, no room for gloom. I'm not going to have a bad day. God's a good God. I make a decision. Every day is a good day. If you don't believe it, try missing one. Shout amen, somebody. Every day is a good day. Abraham Lincoln said, a man is as happy as he makes up his mind to be. You wake up in the morning, you say, Jesus. You may feel demons in the room, but they're not going to get around me. They're not getting in my head, folks. You know why? I'm sanctified by the blood of Jesus. I'm filled with the word of God. There's no room for gloom. I said, there's no room for anything but praise and power and worship and positive lifestyle. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm not going to talk bad about anybody but the devil. Amen. I'm going to brag on Jesus. I don't care how you do me. I'm not going to retaliate. You know why? I don't have time. I'm on the way to heaven. I just dropped by for the night. Amen. I'm going to see him pretty soon. But until then, I'm going to dance. I'm going to shout. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise God. Folks, let God give you totally victory over Satan and sin. He can set you free. I want you to listen to me right now. There's a place in God, and we talk a lot about power. But you see, power and purity go together. I'm going to say that again because you missed a good point to say amen. I'm going to give you one more chance. Power and purity go together. This revival is about holy living. And I'm not talking about your hemlines or your hairlines. Shout amen, somebody. I'm not talking about your standard. Man's standard makes you proud. Man's standard would make you proud. God's standard humbles you. I'm talking about, you see, you're holy not because you've got sleeves down to there and a collar up to there and a dress down to there. I've seen people dresses down to there and tongues down to there. How many knows what I'm talking about? And so this is not what makes you holy. I believe that you cover your body when you are holy, but I'm telling you right now, you know what makes you holy? A holy God that lives in you. The holy blood of Jesus that washed you, the holy word of God that's applied to your life, a ghost called holy that haunts you every day of your life, and he's a good ghost. I said he's a good ghost. He's the spirit of life and love and liberty and joy and peace and a sound mind. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven, and I've got heaven to go to heaven in. Can somebody shout amen? So there's the holiness. And this is the revival that God's sending right now. It's getting us right. It's getting us clean. It's getting us pure. Junk in you that you don't know is there. The devil has that in you. And so he's got the right to harass you. Now, the devil will always come to tempt you. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're pure, you've got the Holy Ghost in you, he don't have any right to harass you. I'm going to say that again. The devil don't have any right to harass you. In fact, you've got all the right in the world to harass him and upset him. And for too long, we've been holding a fort, hiding behind stained glass windows, singing wave the hanky to heaven, you know, polluting the air with boogers and snot and germs, you know, as we wave, please, Jesus, hurry up and come and get me. Hold on just a little bit longer. No, no, that's not the church I'm looking at. I'm looking at a church that is storming the gates of hell. In fact, here's the way that God, hold your applause, listen. Here's the way God wants the church to live. How many's ever heard of Lester Sumrall? Now, he's in heaven tonight, but I love Lester Sumrall. I really do, and I tell you why. Because, you see, he wanted to be a missionary, and he wanted to do this and that. He didn't fit in. You know, he didn't have the education, and you know, they really didn't approve a lot of what he wanted to do, so just heard from heaven, did it anyway, and really didn't fight organizations, but just knew that God had called him to do something. Well, in the jungles of the Philippines, true story, he was walking through as a young missionary years ago, full of the Holy Ghost, living a life of purity filled with power. All of a sudden, he heard a commotion, turned, looked, and he saw What was a witch doctor? She was drinking some kind of concoction, lotion, potion that she had conjured up, worshiping the devil, and she was drinking it, blood. I think it was frog's blood, and drinking it and worshiping Satan. He knew she was demon-possessed, so he just walked over to her, took authority over the devil, bound the devil, cast the devil out of her, set her free from demon possession. The glory of the Lord used him. He felt so great and so wonderful and so good. He worshiped God, knowing that greater is he that's in you than he that's after you. And so he went back to his room that afternoon, laid down to sleep. As he laid down to sleep, all of a sudden he heard a commotion, and the shades flew up, as I understand it, and the curtains began to move out, and it was like a wind came in the room, and the bed started vibrating and shaking and shook right out into the middle of the floor. He jumped up out of the bed. He said, "I know who you are. You're that devil that I cast out of that witch. Now, devil, in Jesus' name, I bind you and I rebuke you and I command you to leave right now." He said, all of a sudden, the peace of God came in that place, and he said it was so peaceful. How many knows when God's in your room? He said it was so peaceful, so awesome, but then it hit him. And he said, "Devil, get back in here." He said, "When you came in here a while ago, the bed was against the wall. Now put it back." Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. There is the point of this revival that you haven't understood yet. Not only did God say, "I will pour my spirit," but he said, "I will restore." Not only will I pour, but I will restore. And there's a place in God where you are totally free from the bunk and the junk that the devil's tried to fill you with. It's not just a Sunday experience. It's not just 2 days out of the week or 5 days out of the week. Every day, you don't let the devil have anything in you. If he don't have anything in you, he's got nothing on you. That means he can't blackball you, blackmail you, blacklist you. There's nothing in you that belongs to him. Amen. You're full of God. I'm talking about pure God. My goodness. What an awesome thing to be full of God. No religion. I'm sick of religion, folks. I said, I'm sick of religion. It makes me sick. It makes God sick. I'm not talking about a religious spirit. Religious spirit dresses up the old Adam. And we teach old Adam to work in the church. We teach old Adam to teach Bible study. We teach him to quote scriptures. We teach him to talk in tongues. But he's still old Adam. He's still old Cain. Cain's working in the church. And they feel better if they can work in the church and work on the church. That's easy. They feel better if they can go out and wave some placards and some slogans and some banners, and I'm not against that, but I'm going to tell you, that's easier than submitting your life to God and saying, "God, work on me and work in me, and I'm going to pray until I pray through, get all the junk out of me." And when you get at that place, you won't have to go to Washington, D.C., literally. You can walk on that Capitol every day of your life in prayer and fasting. You can jerk the devil out of the Capitol. How many knows? That's the power God wants to give us. I'm not against you getting on a bus and going to Washington and holding up banners, but that's easy. That's easy. Call a prayer meeting, folks, in your church. You shoot a shotgun, hit nobody. How many knows what I'm talking about? Now we're getting down where the rubber meets the road. It gets quiet here at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Come on, say amen, somebody. God said, "I don't want old Adam working for me. I don't want Cain doing things for me." God says, "If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. All things become new." Ladies and gentlemen, you don't teach the old man how to do it. The old man's dead. There's a new man that rises up. It's God working in you. I said, it's God working in you. Your work for God is not as important as your walk with God. Amen. It's not what you do. It's what God does through you. Amen. And so you submit to God. The junk's coming out. And you come to that place where you tell, like Lester Sumrall told the devil, "Devil, not only get out of here, but I want you to put it back. Devil, I want you to put our kids back. You've drug them out of the church, put them back in the name of Jesus. You've taken families out, put it back. You've taken our wife and our husband, put it back in the name of Jesus." I'm believing in restoration. Lift your hands and praise him before you're seated. Lift your hands and praise him before you're seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Rima Sanda Riki Sai. Lift your hands and praise him. Lift your hands and praise him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be seated just for a moment. I'm just about through, but he's not. there's a dimension of this revival that we're going to hit pretty soon. And it's going to be more than us just saying, Lord, set me free. It's going to be, devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and I resist you and I command you to give my kids up. I'm going to take this city. In other words, we're not just hunkering down, maintaining, and wondering when the devil's going to hit us next. We're going to hit him before he hits us. There's a place in God where you go look him up. I hear you've been picking on my kids, devil, and I'm going to find you, and I'm going to tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, through the word of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, devil, leave my kids alone. And ladies and gentlemen, you become a threat to him. He may bother you, but not half as much as you bother him. I said not half as much as you bother him. I'm not talking about barely getting by, folks. This is not that kind of revival. It's not that kind of revival where, thank God, me, my four, no more, been set free. Now we hope we'll make it till we get to heaven. No, no, no. I'm telling you, these are the last hours, and the church of Jesus Christ is going to receive a restoration of New Testament power and authority and ability, become a major threat to hell. We're coming together. Religious spirits are leaving. It's not my church, your church, his church, their church. How many knows there's one church? I said there's one family. You may meet down there, you may meet over there, but it's one church. It's one. God don't have a black church. God don't have a white church. He's got a blood-bought church. Amen. He's bringing us together. He's bringing us together. That spirit of religion has to come out of you. I'm not a threat to you. This pastor is not a threat to the rest of the pastors. We're not out to proselyte your people. By the way, they're not your people. How many knows that? How many knows they're his people? Amen. If I hear God moving in your place, I'm coming. I want to meet God. Wherever he's at, I'm a coming. Amen. You see, folks, that's what it's all about. That spirit of religion, if the devil can keep that in you, there's competition instead of cooperation. You're become my enemy and my threat. And boy, we want to run more than them. And God said, would you stop the junk? That's baloney. Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming, folks. That day's behind us. God's raising up a well-regimented, mighty militant army of believers who says, God, I'm your servant preaching your word under your anointing for your glory. Have your way. Do what you want to do. This ain't mine. It's yours. You don't have to vote on revival. It's coming ready or not. I said, it's a coming ready or not. God's going to prepare his people for a meeting in the air. And when you get at that place, when God's got all that stuff out of you that belongs to Satan, that means God has complete control of your life. You're going to come to a place of power in God where you can say, devil, put it back. Say it with me. Devil, put it back. Say it again. Devil, put it. Say it one more time. My God. Devil, my God, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I got to say it one more time. I'm telling you right now, I've got nephews, I've got cousins, I've got kinfolk that used to be on the firing line, the hotline to heaven, the main line, the front line, but now they're in the spiritual unemployment line. They're out there in the fields of sin. And when God hit me with this revelation, he said, son, I'm going to give you the authority to point to the devil and say, devil, you've stole something that belongs to God. The Bible says, if a thief be found, he shall restore sevenfold. How many knows we found the thief? I said, woo! Come on, we found the thief. We're saying, devil, put it back in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I feel like tonight, and we've done this one other night, but I feel tonight there needs to be a declaration of war. I said there needs to be a declaration of war. We didn't come to this revival to back down. We come in this revival to go all the way. We pulled out all the stops. I'm not holding back or holding out. I'm spending hours a day in prayer. I go tonight. 2 o'clock this morning, I was in bed. But for 2 hours in the morning hours, I'm praying, seeking God, and God's showing me things. You've got a pastoral staff that's seeking the face of God. You think what you look at right now is something, I'm telling you right now, your buildings is not going to hold what God's going to do. I said, your buildings is not going to hold what God's going to do, folks. I said, get ready. You ain't seen anything yet. They've taken a few days off to rest. Evangelist Steve Hill is so fatigued. Brother Kilpatrick said the other day, he cried. He wept like a baby. He's so tired, they're taking a rest. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, right before they took the rest, the greatest crowds they've ever had was there, and the greatest services they've ever had was there. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When they resume in January, the crowds are going to be bigger. There's going to be a new dimension. The third stage, I believe, is going to kick in soon. I don't know when, but I'm going to tell you right now, I know God's. I know God's. Hallelujah. I want everybody here to look at me and listen to me tonight. The church is coming out of the defensive mode. We're moving to the offensive mode. There's a stage of revival where the church is going to become a threat to hell itself. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not your personality, your talent. It's not your screaming. It's that pure life surrendered to God that God can seize and choose to put his power in. And you speak the word. You say, devil, I rebuke you. No, devil, not only do I rebuke you, put it back. Put it back. Give it up. You can't have my kids. You cannot have my city, devil. I'm taking this city for Jesus. My God. I look at a four-state area, and I'm going to tell you the word God gave me. God said, the month of December, son, I don't want you to be moved by the crowds or lack of crowds. He said, if you'll stay faithful, he said, you still don't have a clue what I'm going to do. But he said, there's a harvest of souls that's going to be brought into the kingdom of God. He said, keep on praying, keep on fasting, seeking my face, folks. I'm telling you, we've come this far. I'm not backing down. I'm not backing up. I know something's going to happen that's going to be a major shakedown to the kingdom of God. You think these people shaking or something? It's just an outward sign of what God's going to do internally in a four-state area. There's going to be enough sinners to fill every Holy Ghost-filled church in a four-state area. Oh, God. My God, my God. If you're hungry for that kind of move in your life, lift your hands and praise him one more time. Lift your hands and praise him one more time. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. 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 Oh, God. I want everybody right now to open your eyes and look at me. Nobody leaves the building. There's a time in my life when I was addicted to pornography, and I was a preacher. Oh, I didn't know it was addiction. But you see, I couldn't wait to get HBO in the motel and see what was on. There was something there that the flesh enjoyed. There's a time in my life when I was addicted to criticism, and I would criticize you at the drop of a hat and drop my own hat to do it. Get together with the preachers and join hands and ask God to bless us when we left each other. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The reason I can tell you this is because God has set me free. God has set me free. And I'm telling you right now, if I were to sit down and start watching junk, there's no doubt in my mind that spirits could come back in. So I'm not telling you that I'm so holy I'm out of the reach and out of the touch of temptation. We all deal with temptation. Temptation is invitation. That's all temptation is. It's an invitation. When the devil knocks on the door, how many knows you can send Jesus to the door? You can send the Holy Ghost to the door. You can send God to the door. You got the power in you that created the devil. And the devil sees the door open, he looks at God, and he says, whoops, he's out of there. Amen. Angels are coming to the door. Praise and glory and anointing and power and purity and victory. There's no room for gloom. I'm free. And my wife's clapping her hands the loudest. You know why? Because she lived with a miserable preacher. Why don't you try memorizing books of the Bible and having the devil in you too? I'm not talking about possession. I'm talking about junk. So here you're quoting books of the Bible, and it's powerful, and you feel good. But on the other side, there's a dark side. You're watching HBO. You're watching some of this junk. You're criticizing. There's gossip. It's darkness. The devil's miserable. He don't like living with God. God doesn't like living with the devil. How many knows that? you feel like you're being pulled apart. Anybody ever feel like you're being pulled apart? Listen to me, preachers. I'm not a theologian. I'm not going to split theological hairs with you. I'm not talking about demon possession. I'm talking about what Jesus said. What does the devil have in you? The prince of this world comes, and he finds nothing in me, and now he's got to leave. He's judged. He came to Eve. She was saved, but he found a disobedient spirit. He brought her down. Cain, jealous spirit, brought him down. Achan, covetous spirit, brought him down. David, adulterous spirit, brought him down. Saul, a haughty spirit, brought him down. Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus chased him down and brought him down, blasted him off his imperial throne, took the keys, the authority, and the ability from him, and gave them to the church of Jesus Christ. And he said, be holy as I'm holy, and I'll give you the blood and the word and the anointing to help you live that life. Devil, put it back in the name of Jesus. We found that place of power. It's a place of purity. It's a place of holiness. Oh God. My God, lift your hands. You got to one more time, folks. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by His holiness tonight. I'm overwhelmed by His holiness tonight. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. I want everybody here to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm asking nobody to leave this building for the next few moments. I could talk about power all night, but I'm talking about purity right now, because you see, you got some junk in you tonight. There's something in you that belongs to the devil. A lack of submission to God has brought pride, worry, and care, depression, lust, sin. Devil knows, God knows. The secret side, the dark side of the human nature. Brother John Davis, there's junk in me tonight. I didn't know it until right now. But God showed me something in me that don't belong to Him. It belongs to the devil. And the devil has the right to touch that. That's his. So he can reach into your life. And you're miserable. You have good days, you have bad days. You may be at church for a solid 6 months. All of a sudden you miss. What's happened? The devil's got something in you that belongs to him. He's waiting. He's getting more and more control. You're getting cold in your soul. God says, I want to set you free. Holy Ghost is moving tonight. When the Holy Ghost moves like this, you become an offense to God, because there's sin in you. There's junk in you. But God's reaching out saying, I want to set you free. If you snub your nose at God and you walk out the door, the devil's going to give you an applause. He'll give you a good day tomorrow. He may send some business your way and make you rich. The devil may put you in a high position. He may give you a title, because he's going to bring you down. When he brings you down, others are going to be shaken. You see, Judas never submitted his life totally to God. Never, never surrendered all. My God, the Holy Ghost is moving right now. In the name of Jesus, I set everybody free right now from the powers of sin and Satan. I release you right now to obey God. There's a polarizing pull of the Holy Ghost that's being released right now. In a few moments, an invisible hand is going to sweep across this building. And when it does, God's going to arrest you and say, there's something in you that don't belong to me. I want to take it out. It could be a disobedient spirit, a proudful spirit, rebellious spirit, murmuring spirit, covetous spirit, jealous spirit. It could be a haughty spirit. It could be a worry, fearful spirit. God says, I want to take it out of you right now. John Davis, there's something in me that don't belong to God. There's something in me that belongs to Satan. And I want God to take it out of me right now. I want God to take it out. Usually we would have people raise their hands, but not in this revival. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. His coming is so close. God just spoke to my spirit. There are people in this building right now that suicide thoughts try to rule your mind ever so often. If you knew the freedom that God can bring, that demon of suicide will not harass you. It may come around. It can't get a hold of anything in you. You'll laugh at it. You've got so much joy and peace and power and purpose. You will think about the day that you thought about suicide and think how crazy I was. My wife is free tonight. I'm free tonight. I don't know about the rest of you. Only God knows where you're at. If I wasn't free, folks, I couldn't tell you what I used to be and what God done for me. But I'm telling you, there's a place in God. You can be free from lust and pornography. You can be free from worry and fear and gloom and doom and spirits of darkness. And God's setting you free right now. John Davis, I want to be totally free. There's things in me that don't belong to God. They belong to Satan. And I want God to set me free right now. If I'm talking to you, get out of your seat and run down here. Don't you walk. Run. Hurry up. Come on. Get down here. In the name of Jesus, there's a crowd coming right now. Hurry. Come close with your hands in the air. Come from the back, come the front. My God, come on down here. In the name of Jesus, John, there's junk in me. Look at the crowds coming tonight. These are people wanting to be free. I'm sick of the devil jerking my chain. I'm sick of having something in me that belongs to Satan. Tonight I'm believing God for victory. Hurry. Get out of your seat. Come on, sinner. Come on, backslider. Come on, lukewarm person. John Davis, I want to be free. I want to be free. Jesus is setting you free right now. Hallelujah. Get out of your seat and run down this aisle. I'm waiting. There are others. Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise Him. Lift your hands and praise Him. Lift your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus of Nazareth. Prima Sanda Ribaba Kasai. I want everybody to praise Him right now for 30 seconds. Even those that are standing in front of your seats, I want you to praise Him. I praise God for that invisible hand that moves night after night. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Rimatanda rimasandaramahaya. Oh, God, oh, God. Father, we praise You, we praise You, we praise You. I want you to praise Him right now. If there's one message the devil fights, it's this one. The devil don't want you in a place of power. He'll let you shout all night, but he don't want you to have power. I want you to praise Him. The Holy Ghost is still moving. People are leaving their pews right now. The Holy Spirit is moving. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and praise Him. Lift your hands and praise Him. Lift your hands and praise Him. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. We're going to sing that song as you praise Him all over the building. In the back and the front. Lift your voice. Lift your voice and praise Him. Jesus, we love You. Hallelujah.
His name is wonderful.
Praise Him, everybody.
His name is wonderful. Wonderful Jesus, my Lord, He is the mighty King, He's the Master of everything.
Oh, God,
His name Jesus is wonderful,
Jesus, Jesus. He's the great shepherd. Sing the song, saints.
For He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, almighty God is He.
Jesus.
Bow down before
Jesus.
And love and adore His name.
Jesus
is wonderful.
Jesus,
Jesus, my Lord.
As they play that song, I want people that are standing here to worship God. The Holy Spirit is talking to me right now. Those that are standing out there in front of your seats, I want you to close your eyes. You see, God just told me there's a crowd of you out there that should be standing here. I know His voice. I'm telling you right now, folks, there's one thing. I know God's voice. And He's heavy in this place right now. You think you can handle that yourself? That's pride. The devil's giving you an applause right now. He's clapping his hands for you. You can handle that yourself. You're not that bad. I don't know what's in you that belongs to Satan. But the devil has rights to harass you. And if you walk out of this building tonight without running to Jesus, bigger and better people have fallen and bit the dust. The evangelist from the south said, who do you go to? He said, my problem was overwhelming, but who could I go to? I tell you who you go to. You go to God, and you fall on your face, and you bury your head in the bosom of God, and you cry like a baby, and you say, my God, there's junk in me. There's bull demons from another world that are harassing me, and I don't understand it. I know I'm not possessed, but God, something in me don't belong to you, and it's running my days. It's running my marriage. It's running my family. It's running my life. I want everybody to get real right now. I'm about to get mad, and it's a holy anger. I'm telling you right now, because you see, I'm mad at Satan. I know the trip he can play on your head, because he played with my head for years, and I was miserable. I could quote books of the Bible tonight, and I saw results, but my wife lived with a monster. She lived with a monster. The verbal abuse, I was abusive because, you see, I was miserable. I was miserable. God wants to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Some of you that are having mood swings, good days, bad days, I'm telling you right now, God wants to take some junk out of you. I'm going to wait 10 seconds, and I'm going to tell you there's an invisible hand that's going to move one more time across this building, and God's giving you one more chance. He's going to operate on you. There's going to be extractions. He's going to take junk out. He's going to put his glory in. And there's no room for anything but him from here on out the rest of your life. God's dealing with you right now. I'm starting the countdown. You're coming. Hurry. Here's another one coming. 10, 9, hurry. There's a crowd coming right now. Come on. My God, get out of your seat. This is not a neat little package altar call. I'm not trying to be tidy. I'm telling you, I've come against the powers of hell. Devil, put it back in the name of Jesus. I command the powers of hell to set you free right now. That pride that's got a hold of your head, it's coming down right now. John Davis, there's something in me that don't belong to God, and I want God to set me free. I want him to take it out. There's been at least 10 people come, but there's others, and I'm waiting right now in the name of Jesus. If God's dealing with you, get out of your seat and run down here. It's going to be a night of liberation and freedom like you've never had before. One, two more. If you knew how wonderful. Three, four. Come on, five, six. If you knew how free you could be, you would run to Jesus and say, my God, I've been religious, but I can be revived. I've been religious, but I can be revived. Oh, I didn't know it could be this wonderful this side of heaven. Depression's gone. Depression's gone. Devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. Jesus of Nazareth. Somebody right now is feeling that pull. Get out of your seat. Get out of your seat. Come on. Makasai. You go home in your bedroom and you pray, God's going to shut his ears. God's going to say, who do you think I am? You wouldn't come for me. You want me to come for you? This is your night right now. God's saying, defy your pride and get out of your seat and run down here. Hurry. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to wait. Sing this song. It's a long 10 seconds. That person will move that you're standing next to. Get by him right now. Don't you let anybody get in your way. This is your night for liberty. His name will set you free. Come on, one more is coming. My God, I feel somebody getting ready to break loose. Get out of your seat and run to Jesus. Hallelujah, there's freedom. There's freedom in the Lord. Jesus. Come on, preacher. Come on, leader. Come on, deacon. Come on, man. Come on, come on, come on. Don't put up with what the devil puts out. Jesus, Jesus, he's the great shepherd.